This is Aesthetics Bites, a series for Philosophy Bites with me, Nigel Warburton.
And me, David Edmonds.
Aesthetics Bites is made in association with the London Aesthetics Forum and made possible by a grant from the British Society of Aesthetics.
What is the definition of a game? Wittgenstein famously claimed that although games had overlapping similarities, there was nothing that all games had in common. Some involved a ball, some didn't, some involved teams, some didn't, and so on. So what about art? Is there a single definition? Aaron Meskin is at Leeds University.
Aaron Meskin, welcome to Aesthetics Bites.
Hi guys, it's really great to be here.
The topic we're going to focus on is the definition of art. So why do we need a definition of art? It's fairly obvious what art is, isn't it?
Well, actually, I'm going to a conference this afternoon that I'm putting on fashion. It's at the London College of Fashion. And I think it's not obvious to many people whether fashion is art or which bits of fashion are art. I also recently wrote a piece on latte art, the patterns in milk on the top of coffee, and I argue that that was an emerging art form. I'm not so confident of that, but at least it seems like there are cases where we're not sure whether things are art or not.
So we do have paradigms of art. So Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa, we have the Beethoven Lake Quartets or a Bach Fugue. These are art. If somebody says they're not art, then you think they're completely mad.
I would agree with you. That's perfectly consistent with not knowing what the definition is of art. In fact, it seems consistent with there not being a definition of art. We can recognize these things that are art. You said it actually with this sort of serious voice, implying that they're not just art, but they're like great art. And I think you're absolutely right that we have no problem recognizing that Leonardo da Vinci and Kanye West produced great art. But I think the question of the theory of art and definition of art still remains.
So what is the problem?
People have been interested in coming up with a definition of art. Philosophers, when they're coming up with a definition, usually think in terms of independently necessary and jointly sufficient conditions. And at least since the mid-1950s, philosophers of art have been tearing their hair out, trying to figure out what possibly could be the necessary and sufficient conditions for being a work of art. Partly in response to this really fascinating paper by Maurice Weitz, where he argued that art couldn't be defined.
So, just to get clear, necessary conditions are prerequisites, sufficient conditions are guarantees. It's a necessary condition of being a bachelor that you're a man, but that's not sufficient because there are some married men. They're not bachelors. So it's a sufficient condition that you're both a man and are married to be a bachelor.
Yeah, so Maurice Weitz argued this just couldn't be done in the case of art. So he was really influenced by Wittgenstein, that many of our concepts weren't structured in this way. There weren't necessary and sufficient conditions for these concepts. Wittgenstein's example was game. And Maurice Weitz argued that art and lots of subcategories of art were like game. There weren't necessary and sufficient conditions. The core argument seems to be that somehow a definition of art, necessary and sufficient conditions, would be inconsistent with the creative, expansive, adventurous, ever-changing nature of art. And somehow if you put necessary and sufficient conditions there, that would undercut that and be in tension with that.
He also had an argument that if you look at the history of philosophers attempting to define art, they've all conspicuously failed. They've all been open to fairly obvious counterexamples.
That is true about the history of philosophy of art. You might worry that, you know, the inductive argument does at least a bit beg the question. I mean, maybe, you know, not everyone's accepted these definitions, but maybe one of them has been correct.
I think there's something else at play sometimes as well, which is most obvious in the visual arts, where there's a kind of deliberate iconoclasm, where whenever anybody sets up a definition of art by their practice, the next generation comes and tries to knock that off its pedestal.
Yeah, that is definitely a characteristic of modern and contemporary art. And this idea that whenever there is a theory offered about what art is or what good art is, artists seem to feel some impetus to challenge that. Of course, the what is art question is driven by things that aren't you know, avant-garde contemporary art, right? I mean, they are driven by things like latte art and fashion and artifacts produced in very different cultures, prehistoric artifacts, the products of animals. So you do get the definitional question raised by things that aren't coming from the avant-garde, although I think you're absolutely right that within the philosophy of art, it has been the products of the avant-garde that have really driven our concern with the question.
Do you think that when people ask the question, what is art, that they're really asking for a definition in terms of necessary and sufficient conditions?
So I think there are lots of things people might be interested in when they ask the what is art question, or when they challenge a particular thing and say that maybe that's not art, or why should I think that's art? There are a few different things going on here. One issue has to do with what kind of concept the concept of art is. Some philosophers think that the concept of art, the idea of art, is just a straightforward descriptive concept. There's nothing evaluative, or as philosophers like to say, normative about it. Art is like carrot or potato or leaf or water. It's just a purely descriptive concept. And to call something art is just to place it in a descriptive category. Other philosophers of art think that art is fundamentally an evaluative concept. To call something art is to say something about why it matters, to praise it, to say that it has value, or that are reasons for attending it. So those are two views about the concept of art. And then, of course, I think actually the most common view is that art is just ambiguous. There's a descriptive notion and a evaluative notion. You can see that when people ask the what is art question or challenge something for being a work of art, they might be doing different things. Some people might be saying, no, that just doesn't belong in this descriptive category. You know, like, that ain't a squirrel, that ain't an artwork. It just doesn't belong to that category. Other times, and I think something like this is often at play a lot, people seem to be doing something different when they say something's not art, when they challenge it. Like, it doesn't express the right values, or something kind of evaluative.
So when people objected to Tracy Emin's My Bed, which was her bed with all the kind of clothes and vodka bottles and pills and things scattered around it, soiled bedclothes, all those things, when they said that's not art, they probably weren't thinking about the definition of art. Most of those people were probably saying, well, of course, I recognise that it's the kind of thing that people put in galleries, but to me, it doesn't embody the values that which I think are characteristic of art. It's not good art.
I think it's hard to know for certain without, you know, interviewing people or doing the research, but I do suspect something like that is fairly common. I mean, with lots of the cases that have challenged people over the decades, the Tracy Emin case or Carl Andre's Equivalent to Eight, you know, they're in a museum or they're in the Saatchi Gallery or they've won a prize or something like that. I think most people are sort of willing to defer about the categorical judgment that it belongs in this category.
There's quite a nice example of the power of an institution to be taken seriously by visitors. Recently, there was a kid on a school tour of an art gallery, put his glasses, his spectacles, on the floor in the gallery and left them there for 20 minutes. And people reverentially looked at them, looked for the label, tried to understand, you know, art as spectacle or whatever it was. And actually, there's an interesting question whether those glasses for that moment, before he took them back to wear them, were a work of art.
I think it's pretty clear that they weren't a work of art, but I think it's a great case that shows how willing people are, willing to defer to authority, defer to the context, as it were. I think it's also a nice case to show that people can be wrong, that we're not infallible in our judgments about what is art. If I think that pile of bricks, if I think it's a work of art because it happens to be in the museum, it might not be, because it might have been just left there by the workers.
Some people argue that every known human culture, and we're talking about Paleolithic cultures as well, had art. So there must be something fundamentally human there. There is a sort of natural object-making, expressive cultural phenomenon that is part of human nature, part of the world, as it were.
I think I mostly agree with what you just said, but suppose it's true that in all cultures we find people expressing, making representations, making things beautiful. There is still, I think, a question about whether there is art in all those cultures. I feel like the tendency, human tendency to like tell jokes or be funny or something like that or do humor is probably found in all cultures. I'd be surprised if there were many cultures you didn't find that. But stand-up comedy is a very distinctive cultural form. There are all these things that are associated with art that seem to underlie art, interest in representation, expression, beauty. I think some people still think, you know, art is a particular social or cultural form, and even if those building blocks of it exist in every culture, it's not obvious that art exists in every culture.
This is all quite theoretical, though. We've been talking about why people might have a definition or might want a definition, what the definition might be. Have you got any facts here?
So I'm a philosopher who's really interested in experimental work, and I've started doing what's called sometimes experimental philosophy. A few years ago, I read this paper on a theory of concepts by some researchers at Yale, and they argued that there was a special class of concepts called dual character concepts that kind of had descriptive and evaluative elements combined. And the examples that got me interested in this were things like philosopher and scientist, where there are sort of descriptive features, like for a philosopher, like publishes papers and works at a university and teaches philosophy. And then there might be some evaluative criteria, like maybe cares about wisdom or is concerned with constructing true theories or investigating things in depth. And these underlying values kind of give unity to these descriptive features. And I noticed that some of the other concepts that were listed in their paper were art concepts. And I thought, huh. So I teamed up with one of those researchers, Josh Knobe at Yale, and Shenyi Liao, and we did some research where we investigated the concept of art and actually a bunch of other concepts that we care about very much, like punk and comic and rap and street art. And we found that some of these art concepts do have this kind of structure. They combine a kind of descriptive side with a kind of evaluative side. They're a little bit like scientist or philosopher. We asked people a range of different questions about art and literature and various other art forms. We would give them little, say, vignettes, like one person says, such and such is a work of art. Then a person responds to them by saying something like, that's not a work of art. If you think that's a work of art, there's something fundamentally wrong with your values. And then we would ask people whether that conversation made sense. And what we found is that with some concepts like art and literature, people thought that kind of reference to values in the debate made sense. But that with other art categories, the reference to values in that debate didn't make so much sense to people. I think that's a sonnet. That's not a sonnet. If you think that's a sonnet, there's something fundamentally wrong with your values. People thought that sounded weird. We predicted that we'd find this effect with literature and art, that they'd be this special kind of concept that combined this descriptive and had an evaluative element. Traditionally, when people have talked about an evaluative concept of art, they've thought that art was a term of praise or was commendatory or involved positive value, ascription of positive value. To call something art is to say that it's good in some way. And the idea that we have is that the concept of art has an evaluative aspect, but it's more that there are some underlying values or commitments or aims that are associated with the concept rather than merely it being a matter of positive value, goodness, praise.
People have all kinds of concepts. It's kind of interesting as social linguistics to understand how people use words. But if you did the same for mind, you'd have lots of people saying there's this ethereal soul stuff, and I think they're wrong. Now, do you have a way of telling they're wrong in this case?
I do think it's very complicated to see how you get from this to a full-fledged definition or theory of art. It depends a little bit on how you think the folk theory should bear on the ultimate construction, and philosophers really vary on that. Some people think it should really settle the issue. Some people think it's a constraint, but a very weak constraint. Some people think it can be ignored. So I'm trying to be as uncommitted as possible.
If you were doing the same thing with a definition of science, putting up an online survey, you might get some interesting results, but I'm sure you would get more interesting results if you did it by targeting practicing scientists.
It would be very interesting to do some of this work with experts, and we have talked about it. Philosophers engaged in the project of defining art, though, do tend to say something like they're interested in the folk conception of art, or the ordinary conception of art a lot. So I think it's very interesting to find out how the folk, ordinary folk, think about art.
Philosophers often talk about art as if it's this timeless concept, as if it's always been the same thing. But isn't it obvious that throughout history, just as the meaning of philosopher has changed, the meaning of art has changed?
Yeah, that seems plausible. And many philosophers interested in defining art say what they're interested in is defining our concept of art. Leave aside that old concept of art. I mean, the interesting thing, of course, is if we have a concept of art now that's different than the concept of art that they had 200 years ago, it seems like there's got to be something that connects them to make them both concepts of art. And even with the change there, as long as there's that unity that we can identify our concept of art and their concept of art as both concepts of art, the question of what unifies these things, the big theoretical question, still seems to remain.
Aaron Meskin, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. It was lots of fun.
For more information about Aesthetics Bites, go to www.londonaestheticsforum.org.
And for more information about Philosophy Bites and how to support us, go to www.philosophybites.com.